From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 30th day of December 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Senator Grassley is working to extend two ag-related taxes, but won't get a good start on either of them now until January. And officials at Rabobank are cautiously optimistic about the 2010 world economy. As we close out our half-hour program, we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Here are the way the numbers settled in Chicago on a Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit were 2.5 cents higher today. 545 was the high, the low at 536.25. This is actually Kansas City with a settlement price there at 540.5, up 2.5. March wheat in Chicago, 544.75, finished 3.75 higher. And the July there at 569.75, up 3.5 cents. From the corn pit in Chicago, 413.75, the settlement price down 3.25. For the March, May contract at 423.5. 3.5 lower. July corn at 232.25, down 3.25. September at 437.25, 2.5 cents lower. And December futures at $4.42, down 3.25. March oats at 276.25, 7.25 cents higher. January soybeans, $10.36, down 1.75. March at 1044.5, 2.5 lower. The May at 1049.5, down 3 cents. July 1054.75, down 2.25, and the November beans at $10.15 finished 3 cents lower on the afternoon. January bean meal at 316.20, up $1.30. January soybean oil at 39.49, finished 6 cents higher on the day. Livestock side, nearby December live cattle futures, $84.60, up 37.5. Febs at 85.05, down 7.5 cents. January feeders at 95.12.5, 15 higher, as were the March. They were up 15 at 94.87.5. February lean hogs, $65.62.5, finished the day 20 cents higher on a Wednesday. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $79.28 a barrel on their settlement price, up 41 cents today. January ethanol at $1.93.09, 1.6 cents higher. Natural gas at $5.70.25, down 13.9 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $2.04, up 3 cents for the day. January heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.10.8. That's 0.5 cents higher on the afternoon. And the gold futures at $1,091.50, down $5.50. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 10,539. It's just about 6 points lower on the afternoon. And the U.S. dollar, currently trading at 77.91, is up 0.08 for the day. Hey, you know, it's coming down to the wire, but there's still time to make a tax-deductible gift to WILL and help us keep on track when it comes to listener support. Our fiscal year will be halfway over tomorrow, and we should be halfway to this year's listener support goal. Thanks to listeners who have contributed in the last couple of weeks, we're now within $107,000. Now would be a great time to take care of your New Year's resolution to become a friend and go online at willpledge.org or mail a check to UIF Friends of WILL. That's to 300 North Goodwin in Urbana, Illinois, 61801. Your mailing must be postmarked no later than tomorrow. Again, that's willpledge.org online and 300 North Goodwin on land. Thanks, and have a very happy new year. A quick look at the forecast says this afternoon in southern Indiana, cloudy, light rain, changing to mixed rain, sleet, and snow. Elsewhere, cloudy with occasional light snow and flurries. We'll have a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast at the bottom of the hour when we talk with Drew Lerner.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Leonard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us to discuss what turned out to be a pretty busy day in Chicago for, well, the last couple of days of the year, didn't it?
Yes, it was. It was very busy. We understand, of course, we had a pig crop report after the after 2 o'clock today. During the trading day, we have seen an enormous amount of commodity fund activity in the marketplace, and we did hit some stops around 3,000 contracts, somewhere in the March contract at 408.5 to 406. We understand that there was an error made, an official error made of maybe 8,000 sold at the market, and then 7,200 contracts had to be bought back. And that was one of the reasons we saw the market go down to the $4.50 mark. Now, one story was on the newswire, there were 6,000 contracts traded today and stops. Others indicated they thought it was strictly commodity fund long liquidation. We know that it's been very popular to be long corn, short soybeans. And, you know, that's one other example and conversation used. But it was very busy today. And if you had orders in at lower levels in the corn market, it paid off in aces today.
Paid off in aces. Hey, I've got another question for you on this. As you look at these numbers, and we have March corn at 413, we have next year's December at 442, is there a place in here where Paul Cooley would be a willing seller of new crop corn?
Yeah. Well, we do know this, that we understand the farmers are prepaying expenses in a larger-than-normal fashion. And, of course, whenever we hear that, we always add up the idea, was it a better year or what? And the answer we get is that the inputs seem to be reasonably priced. There's worries about higher taxation next year. And at the same time, it's good to save money. And people in far southern Illinois said the corn crop was good to excellent. And they'll probably raise more corn there. Okay, the answer on the corn. We know that the piles of corn that were put out on the ground were wet, and there's still a lot of piles in the Midwest. And we know that there was a lot of corn put away wet in the bins, I'd say 80% of the bins out there are full of wet corn. So we have that problem to contend with, and we do know that some corn still yet to be picked in the north part of the state and parts of the Midwest, and the feeling is it's the larger operator. So maybe a little, my hunch is that spring and wintertime here is an unusual turn of the cards, and sometimes we will see an El Nino situation where it will turn warmer and drier, and there can always be some field work done. But at this price level, $10 new crop beans or something close, that will encourage probably a little less corn planted and a little more soybeans planted. So if you might have a little Kentucky windage and say 450 and above in new crop corn is a logical area to sell some new crop corn. Of course, we have been and encouraged people to unload cash corn when it did get at the elevator at $4 earlier in the fall. The big million-dollar question is how soon are you going to get $4 on old crop corn? It's going to be a while because we're going to have this second harvest and a quick one. There's a lack of real push in the unemployment at 10%. There's been a lack of push by the administration in ethanol. And my opinion is there's going to be plenty of acres of corn planted here in the U.S. and in South America.
Tell me about the hogs and pigs report. What did you see there?
Well, it came in. It's no big surprise. The average number on whole hogs and pigs at 98, breeding 97, market 98, and the market was anticipating the average guess a half a percentage point below those numbers. You know, the trend, you know, the hogs closed higher today. The hog industry has been beat up, but it's not going to be like an 81, 82 when we saw 3 days limit up or anything like that. I think it's a very neutral report as of this minute.
All right. And then what do you see in the soybean market as we close
Well, we've seen a tremendous amount of buying in soybeans. And by the funds, the last 3 to 5 days, China continues to buy soybeans. We know there's a big acreage increase in South America. The crop looks great. And the question is, why is these Chinese continuing to buy U.S. beans instead of South American beans? Well, it's easier for them to trade. They can play the freight market. They can play the flat price. They can play the basis levels. And they can remember bad days when the Argentine government didn't always play with a full deck of cards. But all indications are that there's going to be an enormous bean acreage in South America, and there's probably going to be a big acreage of soybeans at $10 here in the U.S. So when you add all this up and more available acres from CRP and acres that didn't get planted here, we're going to have probably cheaper soybeans somewhere along the line. So that's probably a good bet that it's going to be profitable for someone to sell some new crop beans next year for $10 and above.
Paul, you have a great new year, okay?
Have a nice day.
Mm-hmm. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. I'll be back in a moment, and we'll take a look at the agricultural news for the afternoon, including a story out of Washington, D.C., where Senator Grassley is working with the estate and the biodiesel taxes.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do.
Well, Congress left town this month without extending some key tax breaks, including the biodiesel tax credit. Both parties insist they'll move to extend the credit retroactively next month. But no tax credit, no biodiesel production, say its Capitol Hill proponents, who fear thousands more industry jobs will be lost. Top Finance Committee Republican Chuck Grassley of Iowa.
The biodiesel tax credit is a tax credit that really is needed to be extended before the end of the year to prevent the U.S. biodiesel market from grinding to a halt on January the 1st, 2010.
But a partisan fight over extending separate relief for the estate tax prevented either from getting done by this Friday. Grassley and Senate Finance Chair Max Baucus agreed before leaving town to work to get the biodiesel tax break restored in January. Grassley on the Senate floor.
I agree, Chairman Baucus, that we should retroactively extend the expiring tax provisions as soon as possible after Congress reconvenes in 2010. As Chairman of the Finance Committee in 2005, I worked with then-Ranking Member Baucus, and we authored the biodiesel tax credit.
Without the dollar per gallon credit for soy and or other biodiesel, Grassley says the U.S. biodiesel industry will face dire consequences.
The price of biodiesel will be $1 higher on January the 1st, 2010, as a result of the tax credit not being extended before that date. That means that people will simply buy petroleum diesel rather than biodiesel come January 1st, 2010.
Grassley says the biodiesel industry and the IRS will face uncertainty and administrative problems until the tax break is restored. He hopes to minimize those by announcing bipartisan support now to extend the credit retroactively in January.
Support. Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Up next, we'll hear from Rabobank's Food and Ag Business Research and Advisory Team. The executive director of Rabobank's Food and Ag Business Research and Advisory Team says 2009 was a tough year for the economy overall. And he says it was a tough year for the ag sector, too.
Absolutely. If we look back a year from today, and we, as we look towards 2009, and everybody said it was going to be a tough year, but perhaps we just didn't know how tough, and growth slowed down. At the time, the U.S. dollar was weakening, and the signs were clear that the economy was in a nervous state, but it was tough, and we weren't immune in agriculture. Why did this happen? It's because consumer demand absolutely slowed down. Everything we made for the consumer to eat or to drink or to wear in the case of cotton, that slowed down.
Whitehead says the price of feed and tightening credit made things challenging as well.
In terms of the carryover of the high commodity prices that we'd seen before, particularly for a lot of the guys in the animal protein sector, they were locked into high feed prices, but they had low prices for their output at the other end. What else did we see? We saw tightening credit conditions, which hit a lot of farmers as well. So farming certainly wasn't immune. It has to be said that the food and agribusiness sector did in many ways see less of a decline on indicators than the overall economy, but we still felt it.
He believes some struggle was probably inevitable after a very successful 2008.
Those of us who've been in agriculture for years, we all know that things go in cycles. And I think we all knew that when commodity prices hit the highs that they did over the last year, year and a half, that there would be a downside to it too. There would be a time that we would have to base a lot of our cost assumptions on the price we were getting on something much lower. So the levels that they've gone back to now are probably far more realistic than they were. They don't have so many of the impetuses, as we saw before, the supply shock of less grain that was in the world a year, year and a half ago with Australian droughts and other things. They don't have the shocks of the sudden rise of biofuel and the effect that had on the market. They don't have the big investment spurt coming from outside investors into agribusiness as well. So things have gone down again, but they certainly haven't gone back to disastrous levels they could have.
Whitehead says tighter credit is not necessarily a totally bad thing.
I suppose as any good farmer knows, one of the things that happens when credit tightens is one thing that's not so bad. There will just be more questions that you have to answer for credit availability in terms of what's your outlook for your own operation. Let's have a look at your plans based on what prices may be as well. Credit tightening hasn't had perhaps as bigger impact on the U.S. ag sector as many others, partly because the debt levels of the U.S. ag sector are still in a relatively healthy position compared to where they were 20 years ago. So once again, it's been an area that ag hasn't been immune from, but has been hit a lot less hard than others.
And the Rabobank exec says there is some optimism as they look into 2010.
2010 is going to be a year which is looking at optimism in this sector, but it's going to be slow and it's going to be cautious as well. The consumer is starting to buy again, but it's going to take time. They are going to be relatively cautious in that side of things as well. We are going to be looking credit is going to remain an issue for the medium term at least, and that's going to be right across the economy. But other sectors, it looks like farm input prices, which the rises that had hit a lot of farmers in the past, are going to stay at a reasonable level where a lot of guys are reducing the amount of their inputs. A lot of guys are mining what they've had in terms of inputs in the past, their fertilizer inputs. But these are going to stay at a level which is going to make it easier for farmers in the coming year as well.
However, Michael Whitehead says Rabobank is cautiously optimistic about 2010.
We are cautiously optimistic, but all the signs are good there as well. For example, if we look at the grains and the oilseed sector, one of the big issues that may have hit us in 2009 was not just the global economy, but the fact that there was a large supply of grains and oilseeds in the world. And that won't always be the case. We're already potentially seeing some declines coming out of different parts of the world, which helps the U.S. farmer and the U.S. grain and oilseed farmer particularly. As I say, we are looking particularly at some of the U.S. main export markets, China and others. They've ridden out the recession perhaps better than some of us have. They're continuing strong growth. They are going to continue to need imports. So the demand is going to be there globally. The supply potentially could see some decline. Even the investors who are coming back into the market that they may have moved out of as well. So things are coming back into food and ag. Food and ag remains strong, and it will be a recovery, but it'll be one that will ride slowly through this year and into 2011.
That was Michael Whitehead. He's the executive director of Rabobank's Food and Ag Business Research and Advisory Team. Our thanks to National Association of Farm Broadcasting member Chad Smith of KLGR Radio out of Red Falls, Minnesota, for helping to collect the audio from Rabobank.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. The folks at the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, are on the line with us today to take a look at the cash grain market. Scott Butcher is there. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Anybody bringing in corn or soybeans? It is last minute before we hit the end of the year.
Very little activity, as you can probably imagine.
And, well, very little activity. Is basis fairly wide then?
Well, really, we haven't made any changes. We're in decent shape with inventory, so we really haven't had much need to adjust anything. So really, we're about where we have been the last week or so.
Do you do much buying for the ethanol plant there?
Yes. That actually takes up the majority of our time.
Yeah, tell me about how margins are working at this point.
Still pretty good. I mean, they have been good for, you know, probably the last 2 or 3 months and, you know, continue to be pretty good.
As you look out into the first 6 months of the new year, what kind of headaches do you see trying to continually feed that ethanol plant?
Well, I think that our biggest issue is going to be the quality of the crop. I mean, it seems like that, you know, this year we're definitely going to struggle with good quality corn trying to find it.
And, well, you're going to struggle with that. Is that because the corn that you've got on hand at this point is not that great, and what you think is in the bin at the farmer level is not that great, too?
Yeah, I think what we have in our elevator we feel pretty comfortable with. We're starting to test basically at the beginning of harvest, so we have a pretty good idea of what we have on hand. We just are a little bit concerned about corn still on the farm. You know exactly what kind of condition it is going to be in another, you know, 2 or 3 months. How's it going to look?
And then what are you telling producers as they call in about the next month in January and what basis is likely to do?
Well, we do think that basis is going to be a little bit weaker here after the first of the year, just because there's probably going to be a lot more corn move after the first of the year, maybe even more so than what we normally would see in January time frame. Just for that reason, a lot of guys are a little unsure as to what the bin, you know, the corn in the bin looks like and would like to kind of get some of it moved and see what kind of condition it's in.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are, right now, we're 23 under the March for corn and 15 under the Jan for soybeans.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us today.
No problem.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons Delphi facility and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. At least 18 people released from prison early under a secret policy change by Illinois officials are back behind bars, most with violent offenses like domestic battery, unlawful weapons use, and assault. The Associated Press quotes an anonymous law enforcement official that the new arrests mean the men violated parole and were sent back to prison. They're among 850 inmates released early during the fall after the Corrections Department dropped a policy requiring all prisoners stay behind bars at least 61 days. Governor Quinn suspended the practice after the AP reported on it. At $100,000, the goal of the Developmental Services Center's Tree of Hope campaign this year is a lofty one, given the sluggish economy. But DSC development specialist Nikki Kopman says they're confident they'll reach the goal. The DSC has received about $80,000 in donations so far, with about a month left in the campaign. The Developmental Services Center provides programs and services for people with developmental disabilities in the Champaign-Urbana area. The reward for the return of a pit bull stolen from Urbana's dog park 2 weeks ago has been increased to $3,500. The reward is offered by Heather Davis, owner of Yumi, the pit bull, who was stolen before her eyes on December 16th at the dog park on East Perkins Road. Urbana Police Sergeant Dan Morgan says the theft seems to be an isolated incident and shouldn't warrant more safety measures at the site. Anyone with information about the stolen pit bull should call 911 or Crime Stoppers at 373-TIPS. Governor Mitch Daniels says Indiana will have to use all of its financial reserves to get by in 2010. Daniels says he doesn't expect deeper cuts in the state budget next year. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated is on the line from his Kansas City office. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Cold weather still on tap as we head into the new year?
It certainly is, but the good news is the second week of the two-week outlook is starting to show signs of being warmer. So perhaps we're coming down the home stretch here of this winter muck that we've been dealing with for a while. But yes, it will be cold for a little while as we go forward through the holiday weekend coming up and perhaps lingering a little bit into next week. It may not be quite as bad as everyone might be visualizing. Now that we've got snow on the ground, I think we're all becoming used to the idea that winter is here. But it will be pretty nippy for a little while over the coming week. We may see some single-digit and teen readings across a fair amount of the Midwest during the coldest days, which will probably occur over the coming weekend into early next week. There will be a couple of reinforcing shots of cool air that will come along through the week next week that will probably just make it seem like it's just not going to warm up ever. But it is going to. We are looking at some trend changes in the atmosphere that should start helping to allow for some of these cold air masses to begin retreating to higher latitudes. And this all will start to take place in the latter part of next week, going on into the second week of January. So I feel pretty confident that at least a temporary warm-up will occur in many areas as we get into that period of time.
Let's turn your attention to South America and talk more in depth about the growing crop there, what conditions are like in Argentina, and how they might differ from what's happening in the primary soybean growing regions of Brazil.
Well, Argentina is really doing quite well at the moment. Now, there's some issues that developed last weekend after we got a bunch of heavy rain to fall across some of the wheat production areas. There was a little bit of concern about wheat quality declines taking place. But there seems to be a little bit of a trend change taking place right now across Argentina. And they're actually going to see a little bit less frequent, a little less significant precipitation over the coming week to 10 days. Not going to be completely dry, but we are going to see warm temperatures work in there a little bit more often, and we'll probably see higher evaporation rates. So there will be a tendency to dry the soil just a little bit as we move through this period of time. This is great news, of course, for the wheat maturation and harvest process, and of course it will also be good for most of the summer crops, which are plenty wet right now. A period of sunny and warm weather would just help to accelerate crop growth rates substantially and help to reinforce a high yield potential there. And for Brazil, it's never stopped raining. I think we're probably going to see a little less rain in Rio Grande do Sul and some of the neighboring southernmost parts of that country as we go forward through this next 10 days or so. It's, again, not going to be completely dry. So when we do get some sunshine to occur in warmer temperatures, it's going to be beneficial for most of the crops. We'll keep a close eye on that region, though. January does tend to have a drier bias in El Nino years like this.
Any concern about the wheat crop in the southern hemisphere in any other place?
No, I think most everybody else is in pretty darn good shape. We've harvested a very large portion of the small grain crop in Australia, and we are well underway in the harvest for South Africa. So it's really Argentina that has the biggest potential for having an issue, but it looks like that is going to go away at least temporarily. And most of our wheat in the northern hemisphere is adequately covered in snow right now, with the exception of China. We're going to watch that pretty closely next week because it could get kind of cold over there for a little bit. Might become a threat, but I'm not ready to jump on that one at this point in time.
Drew, you have a very good new year.
You do the same.
That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great day.